The Commander-in-Chief and the Queen Elizabeth passed up the lines. We weren't passed by him. We saw her in the distance, and he had a great day as she was cheered by ship after ship, and she went to her flagship buoy. And then a signal was made from the Commander-in-Chief, saying that the German flag would be hauled down at sunset and would not be hoisted without permission. Then he made a general signal to the fleet, saying it was his intention to hold a service at 6 o'clock that evening aboard the flagship, and it was for anybody else who liked to follow suit. But I think that in every ship there was some small service of thanksgiving for this, in the Cromwellian phrase, this crowning mercy. In a sense, it was an anticlimax, because the expectation had been, before the end came, there would be a final and ultimate naval clash in the North Sea, the result of which was certain. Given anything like decent visibility, and, if one may judge from what one saw in those days of the gunnery of the fleet, it would have been certain. I remember on one occasion, shortly before this happened, we happened to be screening one of the R-class battleships, which then formed part of the 1st Battle Squadron, and a practice shoot was frequently carried out with full calibre, with a throw-off. A full calibre shoot, throwing off the deflection a bit extra, and the game was that while a ship should disappear 20 or 30 miles away and come up at high speed on an unknown bearing, unknown position, and one squadron would be formed up into a line ahead and would open up. Well, we were screening, and she was sailing at about 16, 17 knots, and the 1st Battle Squadron hove up over the horizon, about 20,000 yards, and off came the first salvo, four-gun salvo of 15-inch bricks that they landed right in her wake. And move as she would, they kept on, and I thought to myself, well, when the day comes, given a good bit of visibility, Von Hipper is going to have his work cut out to get home. Well, that is a personal recollection of a very great day, and that one, even 50 years on, I can still recollect very vividly, and I have no doubt that everybody else who was there on the day will not forget it. The ships have changed. There are no great fleets who move one to admiration. But one thing I think is pretty certain, that we will still have got the same kind of idea about what we want the fleet to be, and I am pretty certain that we have got the same men to man the fleet, even with the enormous technical changes which have taken place over the last 50 years, and the enormous change of demand of skills that has resulted. But let me just say one thing. Whatever may be the technical advance and the technical equipment, there will always be a demand for seamen. And you can't be seamen by being in harbour. Lord St. Vincent once said that men and ships rot in harbour. One other thing is true. You can't learn the art of naval warfare in harbour. And in those days, you didn't get very much harbour time. Well, it was a great privilege to have been there. It was a great privilege to come here tonight and to tell you something about the recollections of a very junior wart on a very great occasion. And may I just thank you, Captain Watson, for the invitation, and you, ladies and gentlemen, for being so kind as to listen with such attention as you have done.